The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We got good hoops coming your way tonight. 7 Eastern in the Big Ten. Michigan State taking on Purdue. Then you got number 12 Texas taking on Oklahoma in Norman. You can watch all the action tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you to another hour of Get Up. I am Greeny. We're in New York City, and we come to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Busy we are on this Tuesday. Here comes the menu for hour number two. It's time to get up with a picture that could be worth 1,000 wins. Deshaun sends a message. You'll see it right off the top. Then, the solution. So simple for Dak and Dallas. The question is, will either side be willing to actually do it? We've got it covered. And then, the NBA sends a message to LeBron. Will he listen? And more importantly, should he even have to? Answers to all those questions as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now with what has been, to say the least, an eventful offseason in Houston. It started with them hiring that man, Nick Caseria, to be their GM and not consulting their quarterback, Deshaun Watson, in that process. That proved to be the final straw for Deshaun. Late in January, he officially requested a trade from the organization. There's been no indication to this point that they're willing to do that. But they did grant last week the wish of franchise icon J.J. Watt. He asked for his release on Friday. The two sides mutually agreed to part ways after 10 years together. And that brings us to last night, where Deshaun Watson posts this photo on Instagram and the entire world loses their mind. That's him in Miami posing with several Dolphins players. It should be pointed out, two of them were his teammates at Clemson. And yet, when the photo goes up there, as we say, it is worth 1,000 words, at least, of speculation about his future possibly being with the Miami Dolphins. So let me bring the group in here. And Jeff Darlington, I love the smile on your face. My insider, what should we be taking away from that picture?
Forget being an insider, man. I just want to see this happen. Let's go. Let's go. I'm here for it. And by the way, I understand. I should be pouring water on this, saying it's just a picture and they're Clemson teammates. But look, it's the marketing guy who's actually posting the picture. So it doesn't mean that anything's imminent. And honestly, it doesn't even mean that the Dolphins are necessarily the absolute suitor here. It reminds me of, like, when somebody posts a picture with a new significant other on Facebook just to get back at the ex. It's not about the new person. It's about showing the old person you can be happy. That's what Deshaun Watson's doing right now. He's just showing that he's out there happy and is not necessarily happy with the Texans. So I'm here for it. Would love to see it. That being said, I don't think we can read all that much into it.
I like the analogy, but Marcus, I mean, the analogy is basically this. That's not, the Texans are not his ex yet, officially, right? I mean, that's the difference in all of this. They're still technically a couple. Go ahead, Marcus.
Technically, in his mind, they are. Gee, I know every guy on this set. I know y'all. I know all three of y'all. I know at some point you were already broken up with the girl. You just hadn't told her yet. So that is what Deshaun Watson is doing. I'm gone. Now I'm done with the relationship. I'm just here. I'm trying to figure out a nice way to break it to you. That's what we do. That's what Deshaun Watson is doing. Look, the bottom line is this, man. From the excitement level, though, I would love to see him in Miami. I was thinking about this as we were talking about it, and Jeff brought up something in the first hour about Deshaun is good for 3 more wins. I agree with that, and I would say 4, because if he wasn't playing for the Houston Texans, they might have went 0-for this year, the way they played on defense. So when thinking about him in Miami, you got Tua, who's a young quarterback that David Culley can kind of groom and usher in and hopefully filter him from what Deshaun Watson has problems with the Houston Texans. You can get a lot of draft capital because Miami has it, and I'm sure they would be willing to give it up for Deshaun Watson. And then I go to the other side and think about all of those offensive players in Miami, how they would benefit. We saw Gesicki come on, the tight end. We know Devontae Parker can play, but you put Deshaun Watson on that team, he may become a different player. I love Grant, who is kind of like a Swiss Army knife for them. He would be better. But you pair him with with that defense in Miami? And you tell Deshaun Watson all you need to do is put points on the board and not 40, and we'll win if you score 24. Man, Miami, right now. Don't wait on the league year. You need to be calling right now, trying to figure out how to get this man to South Beach.
I agree. They're one of many teams that could do it. And Jeff Saturday, I want your reaction to this, because we're talking about the different players who might wind up in Miami, and Deshaun Watson might not be the only one. Rob Ninkovich, yesterday on this program, had a couple of bold predictions about the Dolphins. Listen.
I think he's going to stay in Florida, but he's going to go to the Miami Dolphins. He's got a place in Miami. It's a great spot for him. No state income tax, right? He's going to stay in that category. And I think Deshaun Watson is going to be his quarterback, because B-Flo's going to call up Caserio and he's going to say, hey, I got a third overall pick in the first round. I got an 18 in the first round. I got a 36 in the second round. And I got Tua. How about Deshaun comes over to Miami? I think that we're going to have a Gronk Deshaun Watson duo next year.
How about that? Now that is Rob Ninkovich, Jeff Saturday. What is your reaction?
Jeff, tell him. Rob Ninkovich. Tell him, Jeff.
You are high. Oh. welcome to the club. Oh, my word. I mean, listen, I love the whole Deshaun Watson. That's fantastic. How you get my man, the bromance between Gronk and Brady ain't over in Tampa. Ain't no state taxes, you know what I mean, the whole deal. That man ain't going to Miami, man. Come on. That dude came back just to be with Brady. I mean, you know what I mean? What was it, the whole, hey, Robbie G, whatever that thing was? Nah, that dude ain't going with Deshaun or anybody else, man. He don't care about no coaches. That man stayed with Tom Brady until Tom Brady decides, hey, Gronk, you can't play anymore or he's retiring. Ain't no way, Rob. Come on, man.
What do you think, Jeff Darlington?
Yeah, the only thing Nink is doing here is trying to create a little leverage for his old Patriots teammates. This is not – I mean, by the way, great job, Nink. But no, man, I talked to somebody close to Gronk. He's coming back to Tampa, man. You write it up, put it on the bottom line, do whatever you want. Come on. Gronkowski
yes, sir.
To Tampa. Tom Brady, that's all we need to say.
And by the way, the Miami Dolphins got their guy. I just mentioned
yeah,
this.
They got a tight end.
Like, that dude is yeah. They got a guy, man.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a
right.
young guy.
So let's
put
so
the
question out there trying to have a good time.
What are we talking about?
Let's put the question then this way. And by the way, I would say this right now to our coordinating producer, Pete McConville, and our producer, Ali Leo Grande. I don't understand how we do not yet have a feature called Jeff Saturday, Who's High This Week? I mean, every week, Jeff has to name someone who is high. That's got to become a Tuesday staple. Jeff, who's high this week? We make a segment out of everything on this show. But Marcus, very quickly, if the Dolphins get, forgetting about Gronk, if the Dolphins get Deshaun Watson, are they the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC next year?
Yeah, they are. And I know I say that because I saw what Buffalo did, but I'm taking Deshaun before I take Josh Allen and their defense. I'm taking Miami's defense with Deshaun. Look, the inspired football you play when you have a guy at that position that you know you can win with, it takes it to a different level. I love how Flores is coaching, but I do think that sometimes going in and out with Fitzmagic and Tua may have put this team in kind of an unknown territory about what their identity was offensively. And the defense never had a question about what their identity was. You bring Deshaun, you answer that question. That's our quarterback. Raise the level of play of everybody around you. Oh, can he? Yeah, let me tell you why. Because he threw for the most yards without a number one receiver on his team this year. That's how good he is. Listen, this is a no-brainer. I would love to see Deshaun Watson and Josh Allen go toe-to-toe for years to come in that division and see who can make it out and then get to Kansas City potentially in the AFC Championship.
Look, bottom line, in Miami, they've been trying to find the next Dan Marino for 20 years. They thought maybe, and they still may, have him in Tua Tagovailoa. But Deshaun Watson is much more a known commodity. We'll see if that plays out. Meanwhile, quarterback rumors are everywhere, including these, that the Eagles want to move Carson Wentz. We know that. What kind of market are they finding? Darlington has the very latest. It could be very interesting. Plus, LeBron James having another MVP caliber season. You'll hear why Jay Williams thinks he should win the Academy Award as well. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
On we go. Get up, and another of the quarterback trade sagas continues, this one involving that man, Carson Wentz, whom league sources believe is on his way out of Philadelphia, and that the Eagles may also explore options with his longtime tight end, Zach Ertz. Perhaps Philly could include Ertz in a Wentz package to maximize trade value. Ertz has 1 year and $8.25 million left on his contract. And look, there's a whole lot of speculation, and Jeff Darlington, my insider here, I'll start with you, as to why no deal has been worked out with Wentz yet. And one of the ways that I look at it from afar is maybe the Eagles just overestimate what it is people might be willing to give up for Wentz at this point when you consider the contract that he has. It's essentially the same circumstance as Jared Goff in Los Angeles. And the Rams had to pay a team to take him off their hands. So is that, how similar are those situations, and could that be what's holding this thing up?
Well, very possible, Greeny, but I was speaking with a source with the Eagles who certainly understands everything that's going on with this deal. And, you know, the one thing that he said, I said, well, what's the holdup here? And his answer is February 16th today. League year doesn't even start for another month, followed by a bunch of exclamation points. And there is something certainly to that. March 19th is the date that they'd have to decide on paying him that $10 million roster bonus. So this is the runway that they're working with. Now, of course, you do want to make sure that you make the most of your leverage. If you have multiple teams involved, you don't want to lose one of those teams and then maybe cost yourself some compensation from that other team. But we can point out here that this source also told me that there is no trade clause in Carson Wentz's deal. So it doesn't really matter. Say he wants to go to the Colts, but they're getting more compensation from the Bears. They could just send him to the Bears. It wouldn't be a problem there. But I think at this point, they look at us, we've got a little runway to work with here. Let's make sure we're getting the most out of this situation.
All right, that's fine. And they have that time. And to your point, you run the risk every single day of losing one of those teams. But let's reverse what we did earlier this morning. And Jeff Saturday, let me ask you this question. If you put Carson Wentz on your old team, the Indianapolis Colts, right now, what do they become?
Super Bowl contender, and there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, this team is built as well as any team in the NFL. I mean, Chris Ballard, their general manager, has done a fantastic job of building this football team from the inside out. And you know, whether it be offensive line, defensive line, the way their defense as a whole played last year. You think about Phillip Rivers, who honestly played much better than I even thought he would play. Now you bring in a young Carson Wentz with the ability he has, and Frank Reich, you know, who is play calling ability. He might be one of the top three in the NFL. Put these guys back together, I think the sky is the limit. And again, you're not asking him to come into a locker room and be the savior. You know, we talked about that last hour. He didn't have to be the savior. He has to be a role player on this football team and then ascend as the football team does well. I think it's a perfect situation for him. The one thing I would caution, though, the Colts are not going to go outside of their wheelhouse to make this deal get done. I think that's the strength of this team and Chris Ballard and even Jim Irsay to a point, is they're only going to give so much. It doesn't matter. They know they can be successful with a number of different quarterbacks. I think this is the perfect situation for Carson Wentz and the blend with the Colts.
All right, so I think we all agree on that. Then, Marcus, let's get to the more complicated one. Chicago is the other place we always hear associated with Wentz. So if that deal were to happen, how would you like that marriage?
I wouldn't like it much, G. Listen, here's the deal. Indy's the best place. And then when we get to Chicago, we get to Chicago because of relationships with Nagy and DeFilippo, who's promoted. But if you look at the Bears, like, Carson Wentz ain't beating Aaron Rodgers with that team, with that Chicago Bears team. to win anything, in my opinion. But it's also this. Like, Carson Wentz has went through this mental part as well. Like, he seems to have lost confidence. He seems to question everything and have issues with how things transpired and played out. And I screamed a couple months ago, G, Carson Wentz is in this situation because of his play as well. So he has to first acknowledge that I needed to do things better. Even I know the offensive line woes and all of those things that were coupled with that, but they pay you to overcome some of those things and not look as bad as he looked. I feel right. like Chicago would be similar. I feel like going to Chicago yes. for Carson Wentz wouldn't be an uplift to him. Getting around Frank Reich in Indy and being around yes. that guy that you had success with would yeah. put you in a better mental space to play this game at a high level as well.
And I have to leave it there for the moment, but we will come back to this because I think there's a lot more to say. The situation in Chicago is going to require a very particular person to navigate. But meanwhile, I need to get up and go because there's a lot of other things in sports we want to get to here, including the UConn women. They are the number one team in the country again, according to the latest AP poll. They take over the top spot after beating then number one South Carolina and then taking care of business in their next games against Seton Hall and Georgetown. Meanwhile, just a few minutes ago, Novak Djokovic survived a tough battle and beat Alexander Zverev at the Australian Open, lost the first set in a breaker, then came back to win three straight. And so he makes the last four in Melbourne for the ninth time. Every time he's gotten to the semis, he's wound up winning the tournament. Serena also staying on track for her record-tying 24th Grand Slam title. She wins and moves on to the semis with a 6-3, 6-3 win over Simona Halep. She will next face Naomi Osaka tomorrow, and the action will continue tonight. You will see Australian Open tennis on ESPN Plus and ESPN 2. The two-seed on the men's side, Rafa Nadal, among those in action. That's tonight on the ESPN family of networks. As we continue, Tom Brady may lose some pieces in the offseason, but could he add a very important one, like namely that guy? We'll engage in some not-so-reckless speculation as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You want hoops? We got hoops coming your way tonight. 7 Eastern from the Big Ten. You got Michigan State taking on Purdue. And then a good one. Number 12, Texas taking on number 9, Oklahoma. In Norman, you can watch all the action tonight on ESPN and on the ESPN app. All right, back to the NFL. The Buccaneers looking to do something no team has in nearly 20 years, and that would be win back-to-back Super Bowls. And they have a projected $20 million in cap space to play with, but they have a number of notable free agents they need to concern themselves with. A lot of them on that front seven. They were so critical in going up against Rodgers and Mahomes. Three of them are open to sign, including Shaq Barrett, who played last year on the franchise tag. And on the offensive side, you know about Antonio Brown. He's a free agent. Rob Gronkowski, he and Brady are best buddies. Chris Godwin is the one to watch there. Godwin is 24 years old. He hasn't made a fortune of money yet in his career, and he's an outstanding player, one of those that a lot of teams out there might be thinking about throwing a bunch of money at. And so our own Jeff Darlington floated the idea last week on this show, and it made a lot of sense to me, that if Godwin does depart because there's $20 million bucks on the table from some other team, Marcus Spears, your buddy Odell Beckham Jr., might make a very nice fit with Tampa Tom in a trade with the Cleveland Browns. What do you think of it, Marcus?
I 100% agree with Jeff Darlington's scenario. And when you think about Godwin, like, to that point, he's never been paid in this league. And he has number one potential all over him. I think someone will pay. And he's coming off of a Super Bowl and a really good season when he was healthy. OBJ with Tom Brady and that offense and how he figured out those pieces and how Byron Leftwich figured out those pieces of how to use guys, how to put guys in their situations to be successful. We saw AB have success. We saw Gronk come on late. Mike Evans was not the normal Mike Evans, but played a key role, obviously, and made big-time catches and big-time plays down the stretch. They figured out how to put this thing together with all of the talent that they had amassed. Now, you telling me you're going to line up OBJ opposite of Mike Evans, and you might have AB back and Gronk at tight end with Cameron Brate, who emerged at the end of the season? You kid, that's ridiculous to even think about. And if you think about this as well, this has been a part of Tom Brady's MO for a long time in this league, finding star receivers, bringing them into the fold, and having success with them. So when you think about the possibility of OBJ going into that offense, maturing as a wide receiver with the little nuanced things that Tom Brady will be able to work with him in detail about, it's a match made in heaven. And Godwin, go get your money, man. You deserve it. People are going to look at you as a number one receiver all over this league. So I think the scenario is great. And OBJ in Tampa with them, we are talking about running it back.
So, Jeff Saturday, let me come to you because I get yelled at all the time. So I'll bring this stuff up, and Dominique Foxworth is among those who will yell at me and say, teams don't get better by trading away great players. Odell Beckham is a great player, so the Browns do not get better without him, even though so many of the numbers would suggest they do. What is the right response to someone saying that, Jeff Saturday?
I think you're right, Greeny. I think the Browns do get better right now without OBJ. And I think the way that Stefanski's come in and the offense they've put them together, is he a talent? Absolutely. I think the way that the Browns want to run their offense through the run game and then Mayfield secondarily, I think makes the most sense for a guy like OBJ to go find a guy like Tom Brady. And Swagoo made a ton of really good points. I think one that really needs to be emphasized, you know, when you talk about like a quarterback, a wide receiver whisperer that Tom Brady is, it's him being able to bring all these pieces together without any infighting. That's the thing that's such a beauty, no matter where he is. And I think it's because of the way that he goes about himself. He gets everybody to buy in. And Cleveland, that necessarily wasn't the point early in the season. I know OBJ gets injured and then things have changed. But when you go to Tom Brady, the credibility he walks in that room with, everybody finds their role, whether it's Evans, Antonio Brown, potentially OBJ, and you see the team flourish. That's what the expectations you would have with him going down there.
So, Darlington, you look what you started here, and remind everyone, there's a history. I mean, this is not just coming from nowhere. Odell Beckham and Tom Brady, there's a history there.
They do. They have a strong relationship, and it actually dates back to when Tom was still in New England. So this is not as if this is a newfound relationship. They are tight. And, you know, we also should point out, though, it's been made very clear to me from Tom has told people around him that he would love to run it back with the same group, that he loves the guys and believes that they really develop some great chemistry. So it would require some pieces to fall into place. And I don't think that necessarily he's going to go say, hey, let's get rid of Godwin and bring OBJ in. I'm just saying, if Godwin does go chase the money, does not get franchise tag, anything like that, this is the most sensible match that I guarantee you Tom Brady will endorse.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. And the Bucs, they won that Super Bowl with defense. They may spend their money on that side of the ball. Guys, stay with me. Let me get, though, to one of the big NBA games of the night last night. And this was a good one. You got the Nets and you got the Sacramento Kings, and it was a festival of threes. Right before the game, Kevin Durant missing it with a hamstring strain, but no problem. Third quarter, James Harden. Oh, a nice dish for Jeff Green, who throws it down hard, and the Nets take a lead, and then they start rolling. Under 5 minutes in the third, Harden, no. Ball's going to get knocked around, and it's Kyrie Irving dropping the three, and the Nets were up by a dozen, and it would continue. Under 2 minutes to go in the third, it's Kyrie again, another three. He had 40 points. He was 9 of 11 from three-point range. Luke Walton says we can't do anything with this guy. Fourth quarter, it's a 24-point game, and James Harden would get into the act as well. He had 29 points, 14 assists, 13 boards. And the Nets get another win. I want you to hear what Stephen A. Smith said about the Nets on First Take yesterday.
My first reaction after hearing about Anthony Davis aggravating his right Achilles is that the Brooklyn Nets are going to win the NBA championship. The Lakers, as far as I'm concerned, are the only team standing in the way of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden winning the chip. They're the number one offense in the NBA. They're absolutely, positively unstoppable. And it's going to take an elite team on both ends of the floor to knock them off.
And on that note, I am delighted to welcome Jay Will, who joins us here. Jay Williams from KJZ, Coast to Coast on ESPN Radio every morning. Got a couple of minutes for me, and I appreciate it. So, you heard Steve say the Nets are going to win the NBA championship after the news about AD. What do you think?
Look, I think the Nets were on the pace to do so. Everybody talks about Greeny, what they can't do defensively, but you still have to outscore this team if they are fully healthy. It will be interesting to see if they're able to make a play for Andre Drummond. If they're able to get a big, even though they were able to get Noel Vonleh, and I like the pieces Iman Shumpert were able to add, but getting a guy like Andre Drummond, I think, would secure them actually winning a World NBA Championship. And that injury with AD is something you have to pay attention to. I at least give him a month off. Injuries like this are critical for bigs who are 6'10", 250 pounds, who primarily play on the perimeter. How they deal with this issue is going to be critical to if LeBron James can win another championship at the age he is.
Correct. And so that's the thought I had as I was listening to Steve yesterday. Assuming AD is healthy when we get to the end, and I get he's going to miss some time, and it may cost them home court in a season in which that probably won't mean as much as it usually does. If AD is still there at the end, are the Lakers or the Nets the team to beat for the title, in your opinion?
Even though the Lakers have won a championship last year, defending champions, it's the Brooklyn Nets. I've been saying this, Greeny, since the trade happened, James Harden is the point guard. He's leading the league in assists. Kyrie's job is just going to be to go score the ball. Kevin Durant does not need to dance with the ball for 10 dribbles in order to be effective. He's a catch, shoot, turn, face type of player. If they're able to pick up the pace defensively a tad, this team will win an NBA championship because they are that gifted offensively.
Meanwhile, there's one other thing about the Lakers I wanted to get into here, because I heard you talking on that radio show of yours about this. The NBA warned LeBron James and his teammate Kyle Kuzma about flopping over the weekend, and they have some significantly minor fines that they could level in this if they decided they wanted to do something about it. What is your perspective on LeBron James and the issue of flopping in the NBA?
I know where you stand on this, Greeny, but I've seen LeBron James get beat up. And, you know, people are going to say, well, yeah, you know, he's always attacking the rim. Well, he's, you know, 6'9", 260 pounds. You're not going to see him take a force. Do I like the acting? No. Is it humoring to me? I think it's hilarious. I love seeing somebody blowing LeBron with a piece of, like, just their air, their breath, and he fades to the background. So, look, $5,000 isn't going to change or alter LeBron's behavior in doing so. Even if he were to get fined another five times, it's about trying to get the refs to make the call for LeBron's favor. That's where I am on it.
Listen, this to me is not a LeBron thing. I understand we're paying attention to it because he's so famous and everyone talks about him. But, Jay Will, flopping is a scourge. We sit and we make fun of it in soccer all the time. And now I'm watching AAU games, and you know this because my son played AAU. These kids are flopping when they're 13 years old. Jay Will, we cannot be okay with this. We cannot.
Well, not at the 13-year-old level, but when you start getting to the high level, I might be somewhat decent on it, depending upon the moment, Greeny.
Zubin is yelling at me. I got to let you back on the radio here. KJZ every single morning, coast to coast on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay Will.
Thanks, brother.
All right, and as we roll on here on Get Up, Dak and Deshaun, their futures will dominate the NFL offseason. Swagoo tells you what he wants to see for these two young superstars as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You want hoops? We got it for you tomorrow night on ESPN. Wednesday doubleheader starts with John Wall and the Rockets in Philly. Take on Embiid and the Sixers. That's 7:30 Eastern. And then Jimmy and the Heat taking on Steph and the Warriors. It's a good nightcap. Our coverage begins with Stephen A's pregame sports center at 7 Eastern. All that and more tomorrow night right here on ESPN. And with that, I welcome you back to our Seaport studios. I am Greeny. This is Get Up, and we're with you commercial free for exactly the next 15 minutes. And that is when First Take will take over at the top of the hour here. And they got a lot to talk about. Stephen A, Max, and Charlie will discuss if Anthony Davis's injury is actually just what LeBron James needs in his quest for another title. All that and more is on the way with them. We're with you again commercial free until then. And we're talking football with the big swagoo, Marcus Spears. And so, Marcus, we've given you a little homework assignment today. We asked Marcus to put together a fundamental list, as we call them here, of the top five moves you would like to see made during this tumultuous NFL offseason. Marcus, let's hear it.
Number five, G, I want to see J.J. Watt go to the Kansas City Chiefs. J.J. Watt needs to be ring chasing. J.J. Watt got out of Houston. He's free to go anywhere he wants to. They need pass rush help in Kansas City. Chris Jones would love to see J.J. Watt. Frank Clark would love to see J.J. Watt. And this is not a move unfamiliar for the Kansas City Chiefs and Beach, their GM. They went out and got Terrell Suggs for a playoff run just to add another body in that pass rush. J.J. Watt still can win one-on-ones. I'm looking forward to seeing J.J. Watt go. My next one, Jameis Winston, starting for the New Orleans Saints. Yes, I said it, and I cannot wait. I hope it happens so bad. I said Jameis Winston needed a year to sit and watch football. And what better to sit and watch under the tutelage of Sean Payton and see Drew Brees operate with a premium on taking care of the football? That was his only issue. Jameis still threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns in the 30 interception season. So when you think about the talent level, where he was drafted, Sean Payton with him for a year, absolutely, I think Jameis Winston can resurrect his career with the New Orleans Saints in that system with Sean Payton. Number three for me, Carson Wentz to the Colts. Yes, I want to see it happen. Listen, I think Carson Wentz has a tremendous amount of talent. As critical as I am on him, and based on his attitude and the things and how he's approached being benched and all of the things that transpired this season, we don't want to go down the list. Frank Reich is there in Indy. They have a good offensive line. Can't use that excuse. They will protect him. They have a good running game with Jonathan Taylor, a young guy that's coming up and ascending, and Hines. They have TJ. They got Ali Cox. They got Pascal. This team is ripe. If Carson Wentz returns to form in that Indy offense with that team, we talking about legit Super Bowl contenders like Jeff Saturday told you, and you know they love to have a quarterback in Indy. That is their tag. Number two, Dak Prescott. Signed with the Cowboys. Yeah, I said it, man. I want to see him in Dallas. Listen, as much as I want to see Dak just be mean and either go to Cabo or say to hell with the Cowboys and go somewhere else, as a fan, yes, people, I'm critical of the Cowboys, but I am a fan of the Cowboys. I love the Dallas Cowboys, and there is nothing that would make me happier in any offseason move than to hear that Dak Prescott has a long-term deal signed, and he will be the quarterback of the future for the Cowboys. One, because he deserves it. Two, because he earned it. Three, because he needs his bag. I know he's making a lot of money on these tags, and I understand his position of leverage. But I want Dak to get a four-year deal, 120 guaranteed. That's what I'm looking for Dak Prescott to have. And last but not least, we talked about it earlier in the show, Deshaun Watson to Miami. Go to South Beach, big dog. It's driving me crazy thinking about it, anticipating the fact of seeing you in that uniform, knowing that Miami wants to try to win a Super Bowl. Super Bowl, seeing Flores and what he's done as a head coach, looking at this defense, understanding what you've been through. You leave in a horrible defense to go to one of the best in the league. You're going to elevate some of these players on this roster. You got Gesicki at tight end. I think Parker can be a really good wide receiver with a quarterback. Grant is a Swiss Army knife. The backfield coming together. They still need to make some moves, but at the end of the day, the Houston Texans were 4-12. Deshaun Watson was so responsible for those four wins. So you telling me you can add him to a Miami team that's probably going to create turnovers, get him the ball back, and Deshaun Watson can go cook in South Beach. Think about it. Think about it, y'all. I know Dade County is turned to Wade County, but Miami needs their football guy. If they get Deshaun Watson, it's going to be crazy, G. That's my top five moves I want to see for this offseason, man.
That is an excellent list and very well done from the Big Swagoo. Yes. And I want to go through a couple of different pieces of it here. And Jeff Darlington, I'm starting with you. As we talk about Deshaun Watson, and for those just joining us, we opened the show today with this photo that Deshaun Watson had posted of him posing with a bunch of Dolphins. Again, two of them were his former teammates in college, but it got everybody talking about it. As we handicap this, Jeff, do the Dolphins, when you look at what they have to offer and everything else, would you describe them as the likeliest landing spot for Deshaun Watson if and when he is traded this offseason?
Well, look, likeliest is a tough one because basically we're still talking about a situation, by the way, where there is a no-trade clause and Deshaun would have to be on board with where he goes. But also, they do have the ammunition. They've got the third overall pick. They've got Tua. They also have another first-round pick. They could package these together to make something really formidable for the Texans to look at. That being said, you know, there's going to be other teams that try to jump into the fray. The big question here is the Miami Dolphins. What do they want to do? Do they believe that Tua Tagovailoa has what it takes to make the growth in year two? And it's a tough one to answer at this point. We haven't heard them come out and say that we're not in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. It would be very easy to extinguish if they were not in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes.
Because, and the answer to that is no one in their right mind wouldn't be in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. So I like that a lot.
Jeff Saturday. Amen to that.
You like it. In your mind, if Swagoo just said put him there. If Deshaun Watson winds up on Miami, what are the Dolphins?
Yeah, they're the AFC, they're an AFC contender, right? They're going to give the Chiefs a run for their money. They'll be battling the Bills in that division, which will be awesome to watch. I mean, you're talking about, again, when we talk about Deshaun Watson, the type of quarterback he is a three-game swing, in my opinion. He's going to win you three games that you would not have won without him being on your team. And then you talk about the elevation of other guys around him and how beneficial he'll be for that football team, the leadership he brings. Man, that dude is exciting. And you heard Swagoo said it. They'd have been an 0-for team without Watson this year. That guy full-on carried him. We talked about Carson Wentz a couple years ago carrying his team to the playoffs the last two or three games. Deshaun Watson carried his team 16, man. I mean, like this dude 16. Literally put him on his back with nothing else and battled. Mm. That there is something about that, man, and that type of guy forges a locker room. I think it would be spectacular to watch him in Miami. I will say this, though, from Jeff Darlington. If they become a sweepstakes for Deshaun Watson, Katie bar the door, man. Every team is coming after this cat.
Every
minus
team.
Three or four, yeah. Right? Like, every team is coming out of this thing.
That might be kind of where we are right now. But then, Darlington, let me come back to you. Because earlier this morning when we were talking about Wentz and Swagoo, number three has on his wish list is Carson Wentz to Indianapolis. I think everyone believes that that's what he wants, that Carson Wentz wants to go to Indianapolis and be reunited with Frank Reich. But you were going to make the point earlier this morning, and we didn't have the time to get to it then. Unlike Deshaun, Carson Wentz really has no say in how this plays out.
Mm. Yeah, there's not a no-trade clause, first of all, and this is not charity. Like, we all understand that he'd be better fit in Indianapolis with Frank Reich and have them reunited, but ultimately the Eagles have to do what's best for them at this point. And by the way, I would say if the Indianapolis Colts agree with what we're all saying on this panel, then they better up the ante. I mean, that's the end of it, right? If they believe that Carson Wentz is the answer, they've got to come up with the trade compensation to get the deal done. But ultimately, the Eagles, as I asked the guy, I said, well, why does it matter what Carson Wentz wants? And this person basically said it doesn't. I mean, but ultimately, I mean, they just want to get the best deal done. So right. It's time for the Colts to step up if they believe that's the case.
That is a good question, though, Marcus. Does it matter? And I want to save some time for us to get to the Cowboys, but quickly, does it matter what he wants? If you're the Bears and you know that Carson Wentz would rather go somewhere else, does that dissuade you from wanting to trade for him?
It should. It should, because we saw what transpired in Philly when he wanted to get out, when the perception was, I want to leave. Listen, Carson, Indy should be in this, Jeff, and let me tell you why, because I'm thinking about what has transpired for Carson Wentz since 2017 up until this point. And you think about all of the conversations that people have had with players, with the coaching staff, and all of that. Disgruntled, unhappy. You will be able to put him in Indy and insulate him. He will be surrounded by guys that takes pressure off of him. I don't think Carson Wentz does well with pressure outside of the game. When things get tough, I don't think he's just, his maturation hasn't got to that point yet. It needs to be insulated by Frank Wright, Darius Leonard, that offensive line. You need to be able to go to that run game. It's a lot of things that are set up for success. And the Eagles, quite frankly, should be willing to move on and give Carson Wentz his exit to Indy, because they have no stake in the game anymore once he said he wanted out.
But they got to get the best deal that they can. So then I wanted to address one more. So again, as we put Marcus's list back up there, and it was a great list. At number two, Dak Prescott, he would like to see Dak get the long-term deal. And Jeff Darlington, today is February 16th, 2021. I could have asked you the same question on February 16th, 2019 or 20. On the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, anywhere close to getting, is there any reason to believe they're going to get a deal done?
No, I mean, there isn't any reason to believe it, but I mean, they say that they would like to get a deal done before the March 9th deadline, but ultimately they said that last year it didn't work out. They said they'd then like to get the deal done by the middle of July. That didn't work out. The tougher part here, by the way, what complicates it is that now he's owed $37.7 million for this year. Like, his incentive to take the tag is higher this year than it was last year when they couldn't get the deal done. So, no, it's no further along. And quite honestly, I have very little reason to believe at this point that it's any closer to getting done.
And so, and Jeff Saturday, I've quoted you a million times. You said it on this show. He should Kirk Cousins them to death. That was your expression, and I like it enough that I've used it multiple times. Jeff.
Put up or shut up for the Cowboys. Put up or shut up, man. We have heard everybody talk about how good he is, how much we love him, what kind of leader he is, what kind of player he is. Yippee, 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 man. You know how you tell me? You show me. Put up and show. Show me that cash on that line, man. That's what I need. Exactly how I structured the deal. 4 years, what I want, how I want. Because right now, I got them all, baby. I'm holding the best hand there is, and you know it, and I know it. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to bust you over the head for another 37 and a half. I'm going to make $70 million the last two years, and then I'm going to go hit it for 120 guaranteed and the following year. I ain't afraid. He ain't got any incentive to do anything he doesn't want to do, and I love he's in the place. Right. I love that he's in the place he is, because he Kirk Cousin him, and he won even more. Congrats to him.
Go ahead, Marcus, because that I know what you want, but that's the reality.
Gee, let me tell you something. Let me give you an analogy. My wife and my daughter left for a volleyball tournament this weekend. All hell broke loose in my house. Nothing could get done. There was no food. My other two kids were looking at me like, Daddy, you are an absolute failure. You don't know how to parent at all. Thank God my mama lives with us. She was able to pick up some of the slack. But when my wife leaves this house, and she has to do something for a long period of time, she don't know what she gonna come back to. Dak Prescott left the Cowboys' house because of an ankle injury, and all hell broke loose. Everything went wrong. Receivers couldn't catch the ball. Zeke was fumbling.
Yep.
Everybody was tripping. O-line couldn't block nobody. The defense couldn't stop nothing. Water, they couldn't stop anything. You could have put up a solid brick wall. The water would have seeped through the brick wall. That was Dallas' defense. So Dak Prescott leverage not only comes from him being a really, really good quarterback, top 10 in the NFL, but it also comes from all hell breaking loose when he got injured and left that team. I want everybody to remember, this man was throwing for 500 yards damn near a game before he got injured.
A game.
And still losing. And still losing. Yep. Listen, making comebacks and giving this team an opportunity to win. If you don't know or you don't think that Dak Prescott is as important to the Cowboys as any move that they can make now or going forward in the future, Jeff Saturday, tell them what they are.
They are high, baby.
There we go. There we
Jeff
go.
Saturday.
That's all I
they
did.
They are high. That was a tour de force, Marcus. Thank you. And look, that is the reality of the situation. The Cowboys may have played themselves so desperately into a corner that they may ultimately have to trade him or risk losing him for nothing.
That's right.
Is where they are. Guys, awesome today. Thank you so much for getting up with us. Thank you for getting up with us. I will be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds, but the conversation continues here with First Take next.